I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. The Jake Gyllenhaal that I met during the roundtable interview at South by Southwest has never really been seen on screen. He was affable, funny, warm, and smart. Love and Other Drugs showed some of that. And Source Code, yep, Source Code, gets even closer. Directed by Duncan Jones, it's a sci-fi action-adventure, but it also has a nice romantic subplot. It was filmed in two parts, basically. The train section with Michelle Monaghan, and the pod section with himself. He occasionally worked with Vera Farmiga, but most of the time it was him and a green screen. Jake talked about on-set injuries, working with that green screen, his desire to direct, and his advice to actors. This site takes a lot of work, so I really do appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Jake.
I know when we got to talk to you last year for Prince of Persia, it was your first foray into action and heroism. Are you more comfortable now beating up guys and jumping off trains?
Wait, is that a similarity between the two movies?
Heroics.
There was definitely a little bit of a confidence when I was like, they're like, you know, when we do that shot jumping off the train, there's a shot that Duncan did, which is kind of brilliant, which is basic. I hope he does like anatomy of a scene for that shot, because, you know, it was three different parts, and I have to do the first jump off of the train, and there's air, like, you know, timing and the camera and the whole thing, and everyone's like, okay, so you have to do, I was like, I got it, guys, I know, I'm cool. And then I injured myself, obviously. But there, you know, there's a, in terms of the process of doing things like that, I got a lot of experience off of a number of the movies that I've done, like, that have action or a little bit of, you know, fighting and stuff in them.
What was the injury?
If you see in the movie when I jump off the train and then my legs go up and then I land on my shoulder, I just injured my shoulder and I rolled from jumping off the train. It's kind of an intense impact, you know, jumping off of a moving train, you know. It wasn't moving.
I knew there was an effect to it, but it looks very impressive.
Yeah, it's just cool. I know, it's such a cool idea. Oh, geez. Duncan's cool.
Well, you actually introduced Duncan to the script, right? So can you talk about what about Moon appealed to you and sort of talking with Duncan and how he came on board?
Well, with Moon, when I saw it, I was just so impressed by the confidence and the sort of sense of rhythm and visuals and a sort of sense of humor that was very subtle and at the same time a nod to a lot of other films and filmmakers and styles that I could feel instinctually that was coming from him instinctually. And then also, in the middle of it, a really nuanced, incredible performance by an actor who was clearly allowed to feel free and within the confines of all these things, which means that the person who's directing it has such a fine hand and such a great confidence that clearly he knew what he was doing. And when you see that, it's such a rare quality, it's such a rare thing to have all those qualities, that I was like, I would love to work with this guy, you know. And he had written it, and, you know, he had made it happen for very little bit of money, and just wonderful, fascinating. And so I met him, and I was sort of attached to Source Code as a thing, but I didn't meet him with the intention of having him direct the movie. I didn't think I had that kind of say in the situation. I met him because it was a general meeting where I thought, you know, he wanted me to play a small part in the movie that he was writing. So we just met and had a nice time. He was a cool guy and had a laugh and left. And I thought, wait, there's something I want him to read. Maybe he'd want to direct this. Totally thinking he would say no, but I would love to hear his ideas. And we sent it to him as like a kind of roll of the dice, and he 5 days later, he's like, I want to direct the movie. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And 4 months later, we were shooting the movie.
Wow.
I mean, literally, it was like so fast. And that's him, though. I mean, not to be, you know, it's going to sound cliche, but, you know, he's in the world of like, he tweets and he's involved and he's very, you know, savvy. Like, he's like, let's do it. I know it. And then, ironically, in that world of he's very fast paced, he pulled all these things that made it much more complicated and confusing out of the screenplay. And there was a real simplification of everything. And as a result, I think the movie is incredibly narratively, incredibly successful because of the choices he made. And I'm sorry I talk a lot about him, but there's this choice when you eventually find out who the bomber is. Mm-hmm. You know, he made the choice to make that bomber a certain way. If you guys have seen it, obviously, you know who it is, but it was based on this documentary that when he said that, I was like, that's so brilliant. Like, his way of kind of underplaying, you know, he's a great... Anyway, so it's a long-winded answer, but the movie did not work until he came on it. It didn't totally make sense as to what it was to me until he came on it. And then I realized, you know, it was going to be something fascinating when he did, so...
You spend half the movie with an actress with group and then by yourself. How was that? Because this is the first time we've seen you kind of just hanging out by yourself and kind of having to play with just Jake in a room.
Well, yeah. Bubble Boy.
Right, I guess.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I guess there's a similarity there.
Sorry,
I find it, right? You're like, oh, wait a second. What I loved about it was a sense of isolation, and Duncan's was always there with me. So even when I was talking to green screen in that pod, mm-hmm. I'd hear either Vera's voice or a variation of, you know, someone be reading lines to me, or sometimes we would do it without anybody reading it, and I would just memorize their lines too, because you do these takes of like 6 minute long takes, and it was so fun.
Really?
I mean, I could make any choice that I wanted, and that, you know, because you're not so often you're working with people and you're responding, and I was responding off of this green screen,
right?
And a lot of people talking about green screen, but I mean, I was literally talking to the screen that would eventually become Vera, and I loved it. I loved that, and it didn't present a challenge. It really presented opportunities to me. You know, it was like I could respond any way, and then. I loved how, you know, confined and structured the train was, you know, and that was what we shot first. So we had that, and then we broke out into this. I loved shooting this movie. It was so much fun, and Duncan made it so fun and made me feel empowered, and he just wanted it weirder and weirder and weirder. Every time I could make it stranger, he would love it, and that's my kind of guy.
You found the script, or you brought Duncan the script. You would read for Vera when you weren't even in the scene, and you were really like a huge part of, like, it feels like a collaboration between you and Duncan. I'm curious, were you involved in like edits after you guys were done shooting later on?
That was like, well, I saw versions of the movie, mm-hmm. obviously. I mean, the post-production process of the movie I've seen. I never saw the final version of the movie until last night. So, yeah, so, you know, at a certain point, you know, because it was such a, it's hard to explain. It, like, I think with a great director, they make you feel like you've been part of a collaboration when really you've been masterly manipulated. Do you know? And
yeah.
And that's a great feeling, because you feel like you're in the hands of somebody who knows exactly what they're doing, and yet your ideas are important, because if you happen to be in every scene, it matters that you're a part of the journey with them. So, you know, I think Duncan is a master of that, and he definitely always wanted my, you know, opinion, and I sat in a couple screenings, and, you know, he always wanted to hear thoughts and stuff like that. And in terms of everything that the choices he made, like, again, I just had like ultimate confidence, and I, if anything, I just wanted, I was just like an eager kid trying to get my ideas in there, you know. And there were things that responded to that, and then other things that didn't work. But overall, yeah, I mean, I think I've been involved with it from the beginning until almost the end, when I kind of liked the mystery of sitting there and not knowing the final. Like, there were a couple alternate versions of the end that everyone was talking about, you know, and I loved that I didn't know when I walked in that screening how the movie was going to totally end.
Mm-hmm.
And also the voiceover and things like that towards the end, we varied a lot, so there was a lot of discussion in that. I mean, I don't know if that's too specific, but he involved me as much as he could, I guess.
What were some of the other endings?
There was a big question: is the order of the endings and things like that. And then there's also, I think, for me, one day I woke up. We shot one day in Chicago, and you know that last scene with the bean when the camera like pulls him. Like, I had all these weird ideas that, like, somebody could appear or something could happen. And Duncan was like, he would always go with these weird ideas I had. He'd be like, I'd be like, what if, like, some weird agent showed up? And he'd be like, get somebody in a suit. Can we get somebody in a suit? Like, pull that guy off the street. You know what I mean? And we would do a take like that. So, like, hopefully there will be maybe in the DVD, like, you can see things like that. But I, you know, there were alternate versions of every scene. I mean, every source code has an alternate version, and every source code initially has a different choice made by me because I get to come in that way. And he picked, you know, I would give him some, like, humor. He'd want something funny, and then I'd give him the serious version, and then he'd be like, okay, maybe something in between. And then he'd ask Michelle to say something different to me, or he'd ask me to totally improv, and he put the whole thing together after that. So,
do you have intention of directing? I mean, you were involved in this. Do you have any intentions of directing your own film at some point?
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to. That, I mean, I've sort of grown up loving storytelling, and to me, always what's more important is, like, the movie being great even more than my performance, and that's what I care about, and I've worked with such incredible people, and, you know, working with David Fincher and working with Ang Lee, and that's somebody that Duncan reminds me of, is Ang, in a way, in his demeanor. He's very reserved and quiet, yet incredibly stable. I mean, he jokes with you guys and, you know, in the movies, but when you're shooting the movie, he's very quiet, you know, and has a lot of confidence in his actors, and gives you what would seem like free rein, you know. And so because I've been involved with these people, I can't help but, you know, take things from them, and I love storytelling, so I would hope one day that I'd get to do that. Try my hand, because I think it also gives you perspective as an actor. You know, you see how hard it is. You know, I think a lot of actors go like, "Oh yeah, you know," it's so hard. You know, you try your hand at any of that. My mother's a screenwriter, my father's a director. I can see that to put something together and to make it work is, as you guys know and see lots of films, like, to have something to work is a hard thing. So, yeah. I think it just gives. I would love to have that perspective.
Along those lines of acting, what would your advice to actors be?
In regards to what? I mean, I don't know if I have. I think mostly my advice to anybody making movies that I can see that works is know why you're doing something. Know from the start. Even if it's something you've been cast in that you've wanted and, you know, you audition for and you just need a job, you know. The finding out the why is always the most important thing. It's like, you know, when you go to the Sundance Lab, which I've happened to have the opportunity to go to as an actor there, you know, working with filmmakers who are, you know, trying to make their first films or, you know, independent films. The best questions that a mentor would say there is, why? Like, why do you want to make this movie? And it's amazing to hear somebody when you ask that. Like, they'll be like, well, because the da-da-da, you know, it's like, no, it should be a sentence. Why? You know, and if you can answer that question, then you're good. You're good to go. Because no matter what, you know, you're losing it because you've done it a million times and you've lost the sense of what the scene is. You go back to that one sentence. This is why.
So then what is your one sentence for this film?
It's a movie about rebirth. It's a movie about... This is another sentence. Is that okay? it's a movie about how I believe and I can see that in every day... I said this last night at the screening, but I believe every day that we have little births and little deaths. And if we pay attention to them in their interactions with people, you know, we can see that there's a cycle to things. And this movie seems like, at least philosophically, that idea to me. Every time I would come back in to the source code and as an actor, and I think every time the character does, it's like another chance. It's another chance. And it's about, you know, even as you believe things die, they are reborn.
And one more question.
I can try one more. I hope you like this one.
Okay. I like all of them.
Thank you. Was it important for you to understand the science of the source code?
That's a good question.
Good question.
Yes. That is a good question. Yes. I mean, the concept of the source code more than the science. I mean, the science itself, I think he's confused, so, and he doesn't understand what's going on or why, and most of the time he doesn't really get it. And his ultimate choice is not based on science. It's based on a belief and a faith that, you know, he can make a change that they believe that the science says they can't. You know, like, so I need to know what the source code was, which I made very simple. It was simple in my mind, which was, obviously, it was a computer program that Jeffrey's character invented that allowed you to enter someone's body for the last 8 minutes of their life based on, you know, a synaptic map that connected with a victim of a catastrophe. And they somehow rolled the dice and found the right guy with this situation. Now, merging consciousness and, you know, whatever the synaptic map and the science of that, I don't know much about. But it was very important for me to understand that these concepts made sense, you know, and that they could be founded in something real. And so, yeah, it was very important, and it continues to be. And it's continues to be. I want the audience to know that it's legitimate, because it is legitimate. It could happen. And someone I don't know if you guys were at the screening last night or anything, but someone asked, well, what happened to Sean Fentress? You know, and and Duncan goes, he's dead. But I said I believed that, again, in the same thing about. But see, that's what I'm like, all like, you know, and Duncan's like, he's dead. I believe that, you know, somehow Sean Fentress and Coulter Stevens were like born and reborn into each other, you know, and every day we kind of become a different version of ourselves all the time. So I believe that that's possible to a good end, and it happens that way in the movie, I think.
Thanks, Jake, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.